He looked so sweet, standing there, his head half bent, listening to the old ladies as he did with me, as he did with everyone, in total concentration. It was a bright spring day, and the sun glinted off his pewter-colored hair, almost a halo, really, and the white hair of the two old ladies. No, one wore a hat, a bit rakishly, as old ladies sometimes do. Their faces were tilted up to him like flowers, old faded flowers. Women adored him, then anyway. He was holding the attaché for Mark Cross that I had bought him, the cost of it still unpaid on my American Express. It was black, the leather soft as the skin on your inner thighs, and his suit was perfect. Some old Viennese gentleman from Paul Stewart's that he talked about with awe and pleasure had tailored it specially for him. His shoes gleamed, too, Cole Haan. I had seen the inside of them many times. He shone all over. Would everything have been different if it had been raining? I had to wait until he saw the old ladies into a cab. They were his aunts, I knew, that he took them to lunch every month or so at the restaurant right across from Lincoln Center, where the waiters used to skate to take your orders, and you could order anything or any combination of anythings and a good big glass of wine, and sit in the window and watch New York go by. We never went there, of course. You could always see into the window. It was hard to park there. Impossible, in fact. So I had to hang back in the Honda, hugging the curb at the bus stop, hoping he'd get a cab quickly, and stow the aunt so I could proceed with the plan. How my heart beat in my throat. I remember reaching for a cough drop and then thinking, no, he wouldn't like the smell of it. I wanted him to like everything on this day when I was to give him everything he wanted and everything he had asked for, everything I had to give. He raised his hand, his wonderful long hand, and a cab swerved in. The aunts kissed him, on tiptoe, and he still had to bend to them, and then clambered in and were gone. He stood for a moment watching them, making sure they were safe, as I knew he would. This was my chance. I pulled the Honda up as smoothly as I could, and just as he turned to go, slid down the window. He didn't see me. I leaned over, the seatbelt cutting into my breasts, and yelled out to him, "Neil! Neil! Neil!" He turned, bewildered, and looked around. It took a minute before it registered. There I was, where I shouldn't be, in the Honda, which should be garaged in Fort Lee, New Jersey, leaning over the seat to the passenger window, yelling his name. Then he smiled, and the blood in my heart started to run again. What if he hadn't been glad to see me? But he was. He moved to the side of the car, bending down as if to speak to me, but I had thought this all out beforehand. I pushed the door open, and puzzled but still smiling, he leaned in. I had wrapped the tire iron carefully in towels, good towels, so it wouldn't mark him in any way or draw blood. I picked it up off the floor now with my right hand and swung, like a tennis serve, really, and caught him at the back of his pewter hair. Perfect. A perfect hit. He went over into the front seat, and all I had to do was pull him in, turn him. Not so easy. He was heavy, and shut the door behind him. I looked carefully. He was still clutching the attaché. I knew he'd be awfully angry if we'd lost it, and gunned the car away from the curb. I don't think I even wondered if anyone noticed, and I guess nobody did. This was New York.